Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hello, we're going to talk to Buzz here in just a second, but I got to tell you about our Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com. If you want to support this show, this is absolutely the best way to do it. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month or as much as $15 a month. In fact, if you sign up at the $15 per month level, you'll get our Tuesday and Thursday shows presented without commercials. Plus, you'll also get two post-mortem mini shows recorded after the credits on our Tuesday and Thursday podcast. And you'll also get the subscription-only after-party podcast on Fridays with its revealing discussions about sex, drugs, rock and roll, and politics. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com or click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I live in the American Gardens building on West 81st Street, on the 11th floor. My name is Patrick Bateman. I'm 27 years old. I believe in taking care of myself, in a balanced diet, and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. I can do 1,000 now. After I remove the ice pack, I use a deep pore cleanser lotion. In the shower, I use a water-activated gel cleanser. Then a honey almond body scrub. And on the face, an exfoliating gel scrub. Then I apply an herb mint facial mask, which I leave on for 10 minutes while I prepare the rest of my routine. I always use an aftershave lotion with little or no alcohol, because alcohol dries your face out and makes you look older. Then moisturizer. Then an anti-aging eye balm followed by a final moisturizing protective lotion. There is an idea of a Patrick Bateman. Some kind of abstraction. But there is no real me. Only an entity. Something illusory. And though I can hide my cold gaze, and you can shake my hand and feel flesh gripping yours, and maybe you can even sense our lifestyles are probably comparable, I simply am not there.
Bob Seska!
Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, that was Junior's speech last night. Just jacked up to the gills. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, August 25, 2020. And this is the Bob Seska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1,314 of the Trump crisis. 70 days until the 2020 presidential election. And his real name is
Mike Elson.
But we call him Buzz Burbank, and he's sitting right there. Hey, Buzz, how are you?
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. Man, do we have a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do.
He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And can you believe it? It's only been 6 years since we were just pool boys for the Falwells. Time flies.
Yes, it does.
I think I'm ready for the show today, Bob. I just finished a refreshing cup of Russian tea. Catch me if I fall. Yeah. You're going to have to speak up a little bit today, Bob. I'm a little hard of hearing after the Kimberly Guilfoyle speech last night.
You too?
It's a ringing. A ringing in my ears. What a week so far. It's amazing. The U.S. is dealing with three major disasters at the same time. Mm-hmm. The California wildfires,
yep.
Hurricane Laura,
yep.
and the Republican convention.
God, nightmarish.
Last week's Democratic convention went over so well, it's been picked up by Netflix.
I don't want to binge that one.
In other TV news, apparently, this year's Labor Day telethon is to raise money for the post office. Here we are. September's coming. A lot of schools are open, and the Friday night lights are already back.
Yeah.
In high school football this weekend, it's the Altoona Asymptomatics versus the Southside Super Spreaders.
I'm rooting for the asymptomatics, frankly. That's
can't,
me.
Can't wait to see the highlights. but I am ready. I think I'm ready now for whatever comes next. I think I now have everything I need to survive the final 4 months of 2020. crosses, silver bullets, wooden stakes, garlic, and holy water.
Along with the tree line, you made the lawn look like a coal mine. When you rip out all the flowers like you did at Trump Tower, you've got to go. Oh, 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 I beg your pardon. Why did you ruin it, the Rose Garden? It's the sweet talk we see through. I don't care, do you? Did you think we gave silver platter? Do you think orange lives matter? So smile, say be best, and act all jolly. Make the South Lawn look like Benghazi. Attack it all now with chainsaws while you can. I beg your pardon. Why did you ruin it, the Rose Garden?
It's like a cemetery. Okay, that was...
Wow, yeah. Wow,
Jody wow. Hamilton.
Jody.
Jody Hamilton, Marion Ann Arbor, Rocky Mountain Mike. Oh, my God, an instant classic right there. I'm so proud of Jody. Man, she's got an incredible voice. I mean, we knew about Marion Ann Arbor. She's got a hell of a voice, but we knew about Rocky Mountain Mike, of course, but... you know what? We also knew about Jody Hamilton, too, because I've actually played one of her songs on the show. And
oh, really?
She's got an amazing voice.
I had never heard her sing before, and wow. I mean, just wow. That was an amazing job. And, of course, great production by Rocky Mountain Mike. But Jody, wow. Wow. Thank you. That was...
I've never heard the triple wow from Buzz Burbank before.
That was really... Well, that's how you know I mean it.
That's right. Oh, man. Well, I got to tell you, first of all, our normal platform for Buzz and I connecting for the podcast is zotzed out today. It's
today.
Something's wrong.
Today we're using tin cans and string.
Yes, that's exactly right. So if Buzz sounds a little bit different, a little bit muffled, it's not so bad, but it's noticeable to me. I don't know if it's noticeable to everybody else, but we're using we're using the big Google platform today.
So you think I should take off the mask then?
Sounds like you're wearing a mask. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
So, you know, I am now wearing both pants and a shirt today. Not technically, but I'm wearing short pants, but still, I'm wearing some sort of clothing today. Unlike that clip that I provided for the Sexy Liberal virtual tour from this past Saturday, that did not get used. But that's, you know what? That is absolutely okay that my nipples didn't appear in Saturday night's show.
Bob, one word.
Yeah.
Patreon.
And that's exactly where it's going. Stephanie is putting it up on her Patreon page as kind of a deleted scene. So I think there's going to be a bunch of outtakes that are going up on the Stephanie Miller Show Patreon page. But what happened was it got clipped out in lieu of showing an animation of me and Kimberly as stick figures having sex in Stephanie's refrigerator. So
that makes perfect sense.
It was way funnier. I got to tell you, I've been laughing about that because for some reason, the animation of having sex, the two of us having sex, is way more exciting than the actual sex that we have.
Oh man.
Well, wow. I'm not saying it's not exciting. I'm just saying that that was more exciting looking. I mean, there's so many different.
You're such a romantic.
So many positions that those of us who are in the range of 50 years old have a little trouble doing. The dexterity and overall flexibility is sort of restricted these days. But, you know, we do our best.
Well, that's great. Congratulations to you and everybody. And it sounds like you had a lot of fun. I did get to see a video clip of your puppet show with Alex Jones. And
yes.
Let me just say, cocaine on a puppet, funny.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do a puppet show, make sure you have the puppet beating itself in the crotch and then doing a giant pile of like Tony Montana cocaine just right there on the desk. And that's what we had puppet Alex Jones doing on the show. And thank you to the one of the greatest voice guys in the history of voice guys, Carlos Alessandri, for doing the Donald Trump voice in my Alex Jones bit. It made
Great
it
job.
A thousand times better. So, yeah, thank you to Carlos for that. And,
It sounded very good. He did a wonderful job.
I got to tell you, I had no idea, too, that there was going to be so many puppets in Saturday Night Show because Hal Sparks also did a puppet show as part of his presentation.
Don't you hate that when another kid in the class does the same science project?
No, we should have called each other. We also dressed exactly the same for the show.
Interesting.
But, Hal's puppet show was called Trumponomics, and it was one of the cleverest, funniest goddamn things I have seen in my entire life. Remember that show? I think it was MTV2, MTV for a while, maybe. It's called Wondershowzen back in the day, maybe 15 years ago. This was better than anything that Wondershowzen ever did. I'm talking about Hal Sparks' puppet show about Trumponomics. So funny, so smart, and just nailed everything about how Donald Trump manipulates numbers and exploits how, you know, everything from fractions to facts and just to snow his own people. And that was really good. And Stephanie's Judge Jeanine was hysterical. Judge Jeanine hammered, of course, as usual. And then the MVP.
I would love to see that. I didn't know when it was. Somehow they got past me when the actual date was. And I think it was maybe this morning I started reading the glowing reviews about the show. And, that must have been this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was just an unbelievable event because it was all based on this new technology where we were able to connect at the opening thing where we were doing a kind of a cocktail hour. There was kind of a chat roulette going on where we were just randomly matched with attendees. And that was so much fun because I got to meet so many people who are Stephanie Miller Show listeners, people who are listeners to this show, subscribers on our Patreon page. So many wonderful people. Got to meet Mia Montenegro, whose music we play on the show sometimes here.
Yes.
Also, Linda O'Brien, who I see occasionally in the comments on our Patreon page. So many wonderful supporters of this program. And
That's great.
I also have to say, John Fugelsang did an amazing Steve Mnuchin impression. I had no idea that he had that capability, but it was great.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Stephanie as Judge Jeanine drunk. That would have been great. I'm sure that was... That was great. Can you see it in reruns?
It
was recorded,
thing.
So I could.
Yep.
Yeah, I would like that very much. Yeah. And by the way, speaking of your supporters, your followers and fans and supporters, I've been getting a lot of friend requests lately from your people and I guess now our people.
Yeah.
But that's wonderful. And I the problem is I'm at my Facebook limit and I can't add anybody.
Oh, right.
So if you're one of those people in waiting, please follow me. And over the weekend, I will bump off some deadbeats and make room for you. So So please hang in there, and thank you very much for asking.
And make no mistake, Buzz is going to go door to door with a shotgun and just bump off the deadbeats.
That's right.
Yeah. Frangela as Diamond and Silk. Of course, that's a no-brainer that they get to satirize those two idiots. My nude scene will be up on the Stephanie Miller's Patreon. So, for what that's worth, I sent it to David yesterday. I sent it to T-Rex yesterday, just via text, and I thought he was going to pass out.
Well, of course. What are you trying to do to that man? What do you now? Wait, stop, because now this is a new wrinkle. Okay. The expression. You were fully nude. I thought you were going to go shirtless, but now you were nude?
Well, it was intended to look like I was naked entirely. While I was only shot from basically the midriff on up. It was to suggest that I was fully naked. I had shorts on. I mean, I hate to spoil it, but I was wearing some form of clothing, though I was shooting it entirely by myself. I could have been naked. I mean, I could have been standing in my kitchen naked, but, you know.
Because, you know, I thought maybe your career had taken a turn of some kind. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's right. I am dedicated and loyal to Stephanie Miller, just not that dedicated, Buzz. Man, I will
Bob
not.
Bob Seska, male model.
All right, so let's see what else here. There's so many things happening all at once right now, so we got to dig into the fun and awfulness all at the same time.
Here, let me take off my mask and tell you, I've got some things here that I thought we should go over before we dive into today's show.
Okay.
I know these are things you're going to want to talk about,
and
some of these things may be on your list of things to talk about today, but I think it's important, an important context for us to keep these things in mind as really bad news for Donald Trump over the last week, and better news, much better news for those who oppose him. I think this puts us in the right frame of mind to look at all the horribleness of this week's Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
So as that goes on, keep these things in mind, and I'll go over these in my newscast again this week in more detail, but here they are. Yeah. There are 12 things here. You want to number them? Just give me a one.
Sure, I can give you a ding. Okay. How about that?
Okay,
you just
all
list
right.
one and I'll give you a
Fine.
Ding.
Number one, Senate Intel report tied the 2016 Trump campaign to Russian intelligence.
There we go.
Number two, Trump failed to prove wide vote fraud, losing a case he had in Pennsylvania to kill drop boxes. Number three, he failed to prove immunity from the New York investigation. Number four, New York filed a bank fraud suit and referred it to the IRS for criminal charges and demanded testimony from Eric. His third campaign manager, Steve Bannon, has been arrested. Next, Kellyanne Conway quits. Next, there's a tape that has Trump's sister calling him a cruel liar without principles. His evangelical endorser has been forced to resign in a sex scandal. Facebook is developing a kill switch for Trump's attempts to delegitimize the election when the results come in. Next, his presidential rival Joe Biden gets a post-DNC popularity bump. Next, school systems defy his order to reopen. And finally, postal workers defy order not to reconnect sorting machines. That's it.
Wow. So it's been a bad 10 days for King
Joffrey. 7 days.
Yeah, 7 days. Just 7 days.
That's 12 bad things for Trump in the last 7 days, despite all the happiness that they're trying to portray at the Republican convention.
Yeah.
This is the reality. This is the real environment. And if we remember these things, if we remember all of these things, I think it will help us get through what you're about to help us discuss.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to discuss some of those things in detail here on the show today.
Because
there's
sure.
some things we just can't ignore. Right. Because, oh my God, there are so many things. More dings! I mean, just
fire hosey.
Yeah,
fire hosey.
Very, very fire hosey. That's it. Well put. But, I mean, we've got the Republican convention day one. We learned yesterday at about this time that there is no GOP platform. There is no Republican platform. The Republican platform is, hey, Trump. That's the entire Republican platform.
The platform is what he said.
Yes, exactly right. But yet they attack the Democrats for not talking about policy, which is just so hysterical. Because you know why? The thing with last night is everything that they said that was full of shit, and that was like 99.9% of everything that went on at the convention last night, day one.
Right.
Just so completely full of shit. So it works with the people who have already accepted the full of shit stuff.
Here's, if I may, here's the difference between the Democratic convention and the Republican convention. At least the Democratic convention reached out to everybody. I think you and I may have discussed this. I'm not sure. But it was using everything from Republicans to socialists. Democrats made a case to all American voters. Republicans don't care about that because Trump doesn't care about that. And it's his party now. So all they care about, all he cares about, is playing to the base. And that's what they're doing. So while Republicans tried to appeal to everybody, Democrats tried to appeal to everybody. Republicans tried to appeal only to their base.
And that's the problem. That's going to be the fatal flaw of Donald Trump, because he still thinks he can pick up some of those disgruntled former Obama voters. But the ship has sailed on all that. He has done nothing to reach out to those people who actually ended up switching from a Democratic vote in 2012 to a Trump vote in 2016. And so the Donald Trump coalition right now is locked down at like 40%, 41%.
Or less.
Yeah, or less.
Smaller. Yeah. Keep going. He's actually pushed people out of the tent. Whereas the Democrats have endeavored to bring people into their tent, Trump has actually pushed people out of the Republican tent.
That's right.
What used to be the Republican Party.
And the Republicans that are still in the tent, Mark Meadows was trying to give them COVID-19 yesterday. I don't know if you saw any of that video yesterday, Buzz, but Mark Meadows meeting and greeting red hats outside the convention by shaking hands with them, by kissing them, by getting way up close and talking to them, like close talking like Judge Reinhold in that Seinfeld episode. None of them were wearing masks. There was no social distancing. So Mark Meadows suddenly became a vector on videotape. I mean, we have it on tape that this guy is going around likely spreading a virus. I mean, I would be shocked that in 2 weeks we don't hear about an entire slew of RNC attendees getting the coronavirus because of Mark Meadows.
That's the choice they made, I guess. There's not much we can do about that.
No.
There's not much about it that surprises us. It also doesn't surprise us that the show last night and what we can expect from the three nights to come, lies, just all lies, just lie after lie after lie. The fact checkers counted more lies in the first few minutes of the first night of the Republican convention as they did during the four nights. Wow. I was reading the fact-checking last week of the Democratic National Convention, and one observer said the Democrats aren't even telling the lies they normally tell at a convention. You know, that
cracks me up. Yeah,
they had a hard time. The fact checkers had a hard time finding many falsehoods.
Yeah.
Ones they found were very small. There were not the usual false claims about jobs or taxes or those kinds of things. The Democrats didn't make false claims last week.
No.
The Republicans did a pile of them out of the gate.
Yeah, I know. And the thing that was killing me, it was the overall theme of especially the 2 hours, because for some reason they wheeled out Charlie Kirk at 8:30, like a half an hour ahead of time. And I don't know why they got started so early. It's supposed to start at 9 as far as the televised portion of the convention. But throughout those 2 hours, it was this whiplash theme switching back and forth between we love black people, seriously we do, and then black people are terrorists. They didn't even bother to separate that crap with a couple of segments of something else. It was literally going from black people, we love them so much, look at Donald Trump's black friends, and then suddenly black people are all terrorists, and here are the McCloskeys with their guns to tell us how they warded off all the BLM terrorists from their front lawn or whatever it was. This is an amazing thing to look at that kind of. No wonder the red hats, their heads are exploding on a routine basis because they are so confused because they're getting all these mixed messages, and last night was just full of mixed messages on top of the lies.
And I wonder how the family of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin feels about Herschel Walker's full-throated endorsement and claim that Trump is not a racist. Weird times. But everybody knows they lie, and the people who watch, the people who support Trump, they know he lies, and they don't care.
Yeah.
They like the. I heard it again this morning on the CBS World News Roundup. His supporters like the way he talks. they like that bully, that tough guy, and they're going to stick with him no matter what.
Yeah.
Fortunately, their numbers have gotten smaller. Progressive base has grown and gotten more determined. He gives them more determination every day. And I think he knows from the numbers he's losing. The double digit trailing in the polls should tell him everywhere from 10 to 12 points, I think, currently.
Yeah.
In terms of Biden's lead over Trump, he knows he's going to lose. And so all they can do is continue to throw the lies and continue to try to fire up that shrunken base.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of numbers, the ratings were not good. The Democrats throughout all of the networks on Monday night of last week, so the first night of the Democratic convention, 14.6 million viewers across all of the six networks combined.
Right.
The Republicans last night, only 11.6 million viewers. So, that's across all of the, that's across all of the networks combined. So
14 million people saw a better show than 11 million people did. The praise for those four nights and how they were conducted and how they ended.
Yeah.
I must admit, I felt pretty depressed this morning getting up, reading about. I did not watch. I want to ask you about that. I did not watch the Republican convention last night. I read every account and every detail about it. But I couldn't bring myself to watch. The last week's Democratic convention got so much praise, and I felt so inspired at the end of it. I mean, after the fireworks and everything and the four nights of really wonderful programming, and then the Republicans came on Monday night and really deflated me. I was pretty down this morning seeing the mess they'd made all over television last night. So I have to ask you, did you watch, how much did you watch, and did you see Rachel cut in to fact check the coronavirus disinformation?
Yes, I did. I watched, in fact, from about 8:30 on. So 8:30 to 11, that's the block that I checked out. I missed a little bit of Charlie Kirk, but of course, Charlie Kirk can barely string a sentence together. So I didn't miss a whole lot there. But, I did get the opportunity to notice that Rachel Maddow and the MSNBC team were fact checking as they went. And it was especially appropriate during all of the misinformation and lies about the coronavirus, which was important to make sure that the public is getting the actual truth when it comes to the pandemic, which you didn't hear anything like that at all. In fact, Trump was still going around calling it the China virus during those weirdly awkward moments. I think there was one tape where they had him standing strangely in the East Room with people randomly around him, also standing awkwardly. And he started out by calling it COVID, and then eventually he slipped back into his own Trump mode and referred to it as the China virus a bunch of times.
And all of those people except for him were in violation of the Hatch Act, by the way, at the time. And I wonder, and this is a funny thing, I wonder if because he stands funny, that makes other people stand funny.
They should never shoot him like that.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Because he's always standing at that kind of angle where he's bent at the butt, he's bent at the hips and leans forward. And so everybody else, to make him feel normal, begins to stand the same way. I wonder if that actually happens.
Well, at one point, one of the attendees said, oh, yeah, I had coronavirus. I was infected with it. And Donald Trump's reaction is, oh, hey, we need your blood. If Donald Trump says, hey, we need your blood, I'm running out of the room fast.
He's confused. If he pays any attention at all to QAnon, he knows it's the Democrats who want blood.
That's right. What he really wanted, though, was the plasma. And fuck him for saying plasma all the time. It's the new 1917, isn't it?
Well, I think you nailed it many, many, many months ago when you said he does this to troll us. That's why he calls it the China virus. He doesn't call it that because that's what he truly believes it is. He calls it that because it's provocative. It provokes his base and their motivation and in his ignorance, provokes those who oppose him.
I mean, ultimately, the thing that I was taking away from last night's overall presentation is that the answer is no. They couldn't match the production value, and especially they couldn't match the heart of last week's Democratic convention. It was basically like one of those roundtables, like you would see in the White House, where Donald Trump gets the cabinet together and they sit around a big table and they go person by person to just drive their face right between his butt cheeks and smooch.
And yet it felt cold and sterile, and yes. It may have been produced by a reality show and Apprentice and Survivor producer Mark Burnett, but you're right, it did not have the heart and warmth. Yeah. I retweeted a post today I saw that showed a side-by-side comparison of delegates nominating their candidate from the two different parties, and it showed the diversity of Democrats in different parts of the country in recorded shots, but on the Republican side, it was all white men standing in front of the same background, one after another.
Yeah,
and the contrast of that is stark. Americans have taken their corners. Perhaps they'd taken their corners long ago on this election, and I think we all just want to get it over with at this point. Mm-hmm. The lies are going to continue throughout the week and throughout the campaign. From the Trump camp. I was pleased about one thing. I Nostradamus'd this week, this past week. Last week, I was amused, or I was careful, cautious, when I read a story that said, don't get excited because Biden will not enjoy a post-convention bump this year, and here's why. And it laid out some very logical arguments about why we would see no post-convention popularity bump for Joe Biden. 2 days later, a new ABC poll says Biden enjoys post-convention bump. So, yeah, the very thing that some pundits were saying wasn't going to happen did in fact happen.
Right.
Although the lead didn't change, he maintained his double-digit lead. Biden went from a negative popularity rating to a positive popularity rating, and by a substantial margin.
Yeah.
That's how helpful last week's Democratic convention was.
Oh, man.
I think we can safely predict that Donald Trump will not get a convention bump this week.
No, and he's going to overexpose himself. I mean, that's part of the problem. He was all over last night's event, and then he did an entire coked-up rant yesterday morning. During the DeJoy hearing, he wanted to distract from that, so he jumped onto the next nearest microphone and just did one of his grievance rants, where he just went through all the usual shit about the China virus, and yeah, I mean, he was even relitigating the 2016, remember the 270, and it's all that crap, and so that was a good hour yesterday morning, and then he scheduled
no,
to speak.
No, it wasn't. That was a bad hour.
It was a bad hour, yeah. Let's put it this way. It was a full hour of of Donald Trump. You know what? And speaking of jacked up on cocaine, we got to talk about Don Jr. We got to talk about Kimberly Guilfoyle. But before we dig into what I consider to be the fun aspect of last night, because you got to have... Got to have some fun with this shit.
Got to have fun.
Before we do that, we got to talk about the newdealshop.com. Unfortunately, COVID-19 infection rates are exploding across the nation. We know it's common sense that everyone wear a face mask. And finally, most states have put mask mandates in place. Face masks are still our best way to protect ourselves, our family, and our community. But what happens when the mask you thought you were buying is fraudulent or worthless? The FDA has provided a list of authorized respirator mask manufacturers. Finding those masks has been a challenge, and verifying their authenticity even harder. Right now, the newdealshop.com has FDA-authorized respirator masks with anti-fake authentication on every package to ensure you're getting exactly what you need. These masks are tested by the NPPTL in the United States and provide greater than 95% filtration. Right now, these masks are in stock and ship for free for my listeners when you add the code SEXYLIBERAL, two words. Go to thenewdealshop.com and order your supply today. That's thenewdealshop.com. Get them and keep yourself, your family, and your community safe. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
There are things we learn about each other. We're learning one another just fine. And it brings us a sense of wonder to find out just what's under your mind. So it's hard to believe that you
perfect stranger and two strangers still in love.
Yeah, this is Jason Burke, brand new album called Strangers, and this is the title track, Stranger. Oh my God, link in the description of BobSeska.com to pick up Jason Burke's brand new album. And you know what? We're going to hear this again on the Indie Music Countdown coming up this weekend. It's already that time of the month. How do you put that? It's that time of the month. It's that time of the month for the Indie Music Countdown.
That was very cool. It was a little bit, for me, it was a little bit Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah.
With a little Jody Hamilton mixed in.
Okay, what's next year? Oh, yeah, you know what? We got to talk about Junior. We got to talk about Kimberly Guilfoyle. Kimberly Guilfoyle, she made me think of Donald Trump from 4 years ago. Donald Trump during the 2016 Republican National Convention. I referred to Donald Trump as having yelled at the world last time. This is what Kimberly Guilfoyle decided to do last night. She yelled at the world for 3 or 4 minutes, and it was really bizarre because she was standing in an empty room.
Yes.
So someone, and this is one of my favorite things in the world going around the internet today, someone put her loudest moments to the tune of North Korean propaganda music. Okay. So listen to this. This is, in case you missed it, this is Kimberly Guilfoyle from last night with some appropriate propaganda music behind it.
Don't let the Democrats take you for granted. Don't let them step on you. Don't let them destroy your families, your lives, and your future. Don't let them kill future generations because they told you and brainwashed you and fed you lies that you weren't good enough. Like my parents, you can achieve your American dream. You can be that shining example to the world. Manifest and be the change in this country that you dream, that you hope, that you believe in. Stand for an American president who is fearless, who believes in you, and who loves this country and will fight for her.
Yeah.
President Trump is the leader who will rebuild the promise of America and ensure that every citizen can realize
here comes the big finish.
American dream. Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
Loud noises!
That's right. This was so great about this. Again, it was in an empty room. So she reached that fever pitch by the end and she's screaming into her microphone. And then all you hear after that is just.
Because it's an empty room.
Because it's an empty room.
She's shouting in an empty room because she doesn't understand the technology of amplification.
See, what she didn't do is what Joe Biden did with his speech last week. Joe Biden understood the intimate nature of an audience-free address in which you're talking into a camera, basically. Right. So he was able to connect one-on-one with every single American watching that telecast last week. Kimberly Guilfoyle is just like, blah, blah.
Loud noises!
Oh, my God.
See, to shout into an empty room like that is as pointless as telling jokes at the beginning of a show without a studio audience. It really is a pointless exercise.
So, but to me, the biggest highlight of the evening was Donald Trump Jr. And everyone knows that I love to troll Jr. That's one of my favorite things in the world. Because, I mean, honestly, the reason I do it is because I do kind of see him as a bit of a threat. Some idiot did a poll for 2024 among the Republicans. Mike Pence is number one as far as a favorite for the Republican nomination in 4 years.
With that dynamic personality, why wouldn't he be?
That's right. Number two is Junior. And so I think my concern is well placed. So whenever I can take a chunk out of that asshole, I try to definitely do that. Junior was jacked up to the gills. Oh my God, Buzz.
Seems to be, I've seen the pictures, and it seems to be a universal conclusion.
Yeah.
There's been, I believe the word cocaine has trended heavily on Twitter today.
Yeah, he did too much of something. I don't know. I mean, I have no verification of what it was exactly, but I think all of us who are, you know, in the know can recognize this shit when we see it. His eyes were watery, bloodshot slits that did not move, that did not blink. He was oh my God, blitzed on something.
There were so many tears in his eyes, he couldn't have hit the broadside of an elephant.
Suddenly, the memes going around today with Donald Trump Jr.'s bloodshot pink eyes. Right. I mean, either he was coked to the gills or Eric Trump went right up to him and farted right in his eyeball. I mean, it was just like one of those two options. And I'm going to go with probably the coke to the gills because
I'm going to go with both. Okay. I'm going to say both.
Oh, no. Here comes Eric. Eric's farting right into Jr.'s eyes.
Making Junior's eyes water.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, you know, Junior knows what's coming next if his dad loses.
I hear that he does. Yes.
Yeah, in the latest profile of Junior in the New York Times Magazine, says here, an electoral defeat in November, Trump Jr. fears, could result in federal prosecutions of Trump, his family, and his political allies. He's told someone that he expects that a Biden administration will not participate in a peaceful transition and instead will shoot the prisoners, is the actual quote, shoot the prisoners. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any shooting going on, but I do think that there's going to be prosecutions all over the goddamn place.
I'm disappointed in myself at how much I like the sound of that. No actual shooting.
Make no mistake, too, and this is kind of my final thought on night one of the Republican convention. Nikki Haley and Tim Scott are Trumper clowns. Make no mistake, they sounded reasonable last night, and that's the scariest form of Trumpism. People who are espousing Trumpism ideas, but saying it in a way that makes it seem kind of normal. And it's not. Don't be fooled by Nikki Haley and Tim Scott. And I'm glad that most of the commentators afterwards were kind of like, huh, well, they really sold out, didn't they? I mean, they are, Nikki Haley especially is,
for now,
is a clown. I mean,
what I'm reading today is that Haley was setting herself up for a 2024 run with this speech. And, you know, I think just as Ohio's John Kasich did last week at the Democratic convention, I think they're positioning themselves for a 2024 run.
Yeah.
I don't know what Tim Scott's aspirations or hopes are, maybe to be the vice presidential candidate on that ticket. I don't know. Yeah. But I think that's what a lot of that is about. But you're right. It is more insidious when they sound more reasonable.
Yeah.
When they're raving lunatics about, Democrats eating babies, then that's easy to... easier to dismiss.
Yeah.
When Nikki Haley says it and says it carefully like that, you and I worry that some people will buy that.
I mean, she only spent about a year as UN ambassador under Trump, but she said during that time she witnessed the UN up close and repeating something that Trump has said in that context. She was like, yes, all these foreign nations, all they do is take our money and then they treat us unfairly. I was like, you see, that's Trumpism right there. It's going to come around to the 2024 primaries, and Nikki Haley is going to pretend 4 years from now that none of this ever happened, that she never said these things, that she was actually skeptical of the Trump White House, and she was critical, and she tried to steer the Trump White House into doing something normal.
And to some degree, she'll get away with it to some degree.
And we can't. We absolutely cannot let her get away.
You can't keep getting away with it.
Don't let her get away with it.
You can't keep getting away with it.
Don't let her do it. Because you know what? That's a pretty good segue into Kellyanne Conway. And the thing with Kellyanne Conway, I don't care about her family. I don't want to go there. It's none of my business what's going on with George Conway and her daughter and their daughter, I should say. But I will say this. A large part of Kellyanne Conway is about our business. She is going to try this effort now after she's finally out of the White House. She is going to try to humanize herself using cable news, using maybe reality shows like Sean Spicer did, using her daughter, using any platform she can get her hands on to make herself appear as if, well, I was just doing my job. I was just following orders.
I think she might. She has been invited to speak at the Republican National Convention this week. She has not yet accepted that invitation. I don't expect she will. My read on this, and I don't want to get into too much of it myself, but my read on this is that she and George are both their daughter's finally gotten their attention.
Yeah.
And they've both agreed, at least for now, to step away from politics. Will they both be back? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But for now, for the sake of their family, they're both stepping away, probably on the advice of a therapist or a lawyer, since the daughter's filed for emancipation from both parents.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an unfortunate, and I like to keep reminding people, this is yet another family torn apart by Trump. Mine's one of them. Yours may be one of them.
Yeah.
The people listening to us today.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly it's even the case with the Conways. New this fall, a sitcom on NBC. But no, I mean, it's a tragic situation, and the division in that family is caused by Donald Trump.
Yep.
And this is the result. This is what comes of it. And I think Kellyanne will lay low for a while. If she doesn't lay low for a while, then she truly does have no soul. But I think she has stepped away from politics for a while to put out this fire back at her house.
Everyone knows what my position is. I mean, Driftglass on their program on the Professional Left podcast talking a lot about burning the lifeboats in the context of the Never Trumpers and some of the wayward Republicans who hate Trump and are now joining with the Democrats at this point. I'm not with them on that. I'm not with Driftglass on the burn the lifeboats when it comes to those people, because we need every vote we can get to defeat Donald Trump. That's the Cliff Notes version of my counterpoint to all of that. But we have to burn the lifeboats when it comes to the Trumpers. We have to burn the lifeboats when it comes to these people who have enabled a fascist regime, a fascist tyrant, by taking every horrible thing that this president has done and spinning it in a way to make it sound normal and innocuous. Right. And it's not. Yeah.
Nobody's done that better or more than Kellyanne Conway.
That's right.
And yes, she's been the conduit to the media.
So I'm all in favor of no quarter for the Trumpers. I think there needs to be a Trump Crimes Commission. I think Glenn Kushner has the right idea. Glenn Kushner, as well as Eric Swalwell, I think they both have the right concept as far as doing a bipartisan, or whatever you want to call it, nonpartisan commission that will examine all of these crimes and offer up recommendations to the Department of Justice or whatever law enforcement bodies are appropriate.
I don't want Donald Trump Jr. to worry his little head between now and the election, but just between you and me, yeah, he's right.
Yeah,
they're going down indeed.
Mm-hmm. And I think Kellyanne Conway is right there with them.
One more thing, if I may, about the Never Trumpers.
Yeah,
some of you have caught this news, some have not. Former Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele has now joined the Never Trumper group, the Lincoln Project, replacing George Conway, who, like Kellyanne, stepped away from politics yesterday. And so I thought that was that's a significant thing when the former head of the opposing party endorses the Democratic presidential candidate and joins an anti-Trump project. That's pretty significant news. In addition to the two dozen lawmakers, the two dozen former Republican lawmakers who've come out against Trump, and the more than five dozen former national security personnel, Republican national security personnel who've come out against Trump. There are a significant number of Republicans turning on this guy. Now, they aren't the average voters, but I hope all of this sends a message and helps some folks have a clearer view of what's really going on here.
The thing is, though, if we can't beat Donald Trump with this massive coalition, obviously with the entire Democratic Party and a good 10 to 15% of the Republican Party on top of the Democratic side, and we've already got massive energy with just Democrats alone, you stack on top of it 15% of the Republican vote, and we seem on paper unstoppable. And if we can't beat Donald Trump with this coalition, there's something horrendously wrong in this country, whether you... it's the cheating, whether it's the sabotage of the post office. You know, the Louis DeJoy testimony. You know, and I've been calling him Louis because Glenn Kirshner called him Louis. So I don't know if that's accurate or not. I think we had this conversation last week, but
yeah.
I'm going with Louis. So Louis DeJoy, Louis the Scalp DeJoy, gangster extraordinaire Louis DeJoy. I mean, just on full display once again yesterday in the House Oversight Committee. What was, I want to play this clip. This is Stephen Lynch just utterly hammering DeJoy about putting the sorting machines back. And this is DeJoy on the record saying, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to fix any of this crap that I've sabotaged already.
Will you put the high-speed machines back?
No, I will not.
You will not?
Will not.
You will not. Well, there you go.
There I go. What? Those machines.
Madam Chair, let the witness answer the question. He has gone over time.
Order, order, order. The gentleman may answer the question
without being interrupted. And the question is, will you put the machines back?
The answer is no, and every accusation you made, other than the truck adhere to the truck schedule, is inaccurate and more misinformation for the American public.
It's inaccurate. There are a lot of buffers. The boss had lots of buffers. God, what a gangster.
Unbelievable. He indeed. And that's exactly what he is.
Yeah. So he claimed, and this is some more whiplash from Republicans. This is amazing. Last night it was black people are great, and then followed by black people are terrorists. Well, yesterday during this testimony, DeJoy was like, well, I didn't remove the machines. I didn't do any of this crap. I didn't restrict overtime. Yeah. What are you talking about? I didn't do any of this. So who did?
he claims a lot of this was in motion before he got the job.
Oh,
but
sure.
That does not appear to be the case. You know, I mentioned in the 12 bad things that have happened to Trump in the last 7 days at the top of the show, I mentioned that postal workers were defying, and we know this in Washington State, it may be true elsewhere, that postal workers were defying the Postmaster General's orders and reconnecting some of the disconnected sorting machines that they were told not to reconnect. And also, I know that in some cases, multiple post offices in Washington State. There may be other states as well. But I also know that in some locations, postal workers have tried to reassemble these barcode sorting machines and found that crucial parts were damaged or missing, and they are unable to reassemble them. This is some very, very expensive equipment paid for by the taxpayers that was thrown out back in one case, left out in the rain.
I don't understand, and there wasn't a satisfactory answer, obviously, from DeJoy yesterday. I don't understand how the disassembling of the sorting machines actually saves the USPS money. I don't get what the connection is between, okay, we need to save some money because we've got these pension obligations, but let's just take apart the shit that actually makes things go faster and work better. Again, it's sabotage. That's all it is. They are trying to steal the election by sabotaging the Postal Service.
Exactly. It's two kinds of sabotage. And I think I mentioned this last week, but it's worth reiterating.
Yeah.
They're sabotaging the post office in real time.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing real damage to the post office.
Yeah.
While at the same time, and this is the other sabotage, the sabotage of the election system, while reinforcing the view that the Postal Service can't handle this mail-in election.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, oh, the post office can't possibly handle this, and then they're kicking it in the shins to make sure that it can't handle this, to make sure that their dire and false warning comes true. It's not. There's been some damage to the Postal Service. By most accounts, the mail is mostly flowing. And I think if people have a plan, as we've talked about before, and vote early, use an in-person drop box if you can. Vote early in person if you can. If you must mail, do it as soon as you get your ballot.
Yeah.
And keep an eye out to make sure that you're getting your ballot in a timely fashion. These are the ways to defeat these attempts at cheating. Here we are again. Isn't this the case?
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats, once again, looking for ways to get around the cheating.
Yeah,
that's what we have to do every freaking election is, okay, what do we need to do? How much higher do we have to jump? What hoops do we have to jump through to try to overcome this cheating?
Yeah.
And this is just the latest cheating attempt.
Right. And this is on top of all of the other things. I mean, we're talking about voter ID. Cheating. We're talking about suppression, voter purges. And
gerrymandering.
Yeah, yeah. Some precincts, some counties, some states are removing people from the voter rolls if they didn't vote in the previous two elections. So this is the kind of shit that we're dealing with. Things that we have to overcome. And
poll watchers.
Yes. It is our patriotic duty as Americans to do whatever we can to overcome everything legal, that is, to overcome all of these illegal moves. We have to remain on the level while they cheat.
A number of us have said online that we would crawl through broken glass to vote out Donald Trump on November 3rd. We might actually need you to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that may actually yeah. come true. Yeah. It's a shame, but it's what we have to do. And it seems to get worse all the time. And by the way, on the subject of poll watching, which will be used in minority districts to intimidate voters in this upcoming election.
Yes.
The Republicans are The Republicans feel they are allowed to do this again now after being banned from poll watching legally for 40 years because they intimidated minority voters the last time they had poll watchers. If you don't think they're going to, and suddenly during, oh, what luck we have, it was during Trump's campaign that that ban ended and the Republicans are now free to intimidate voters through poll watchers, hiring off-duty cops to stand around and intimidate minority voters. And it's going to happen again this year. And because it's they have giving them yet a new way, another way, an additional way to cheat.
Jesus fucking Christ on a stick. It's just unfucking believable. And you know what? By the way, Louis DeJoy was lying yesterday, or he was lying all over the place. But one of the lies that he was caught on is during the Senate Homeland Security Committee hearings last week, he claimed to not have any contact with Donald Trump. But then he told the Oversight Committee yesterday that he did have contact. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if we got some criminal referrals as far as perjury goes regarding yesterday's testimony or even the Senate Homeland Security testimony from last week. But suffice to say, this guy is everything you suspect him to be. Obviously, from the idea that he has given $1.2 million of his own money, which was something that was covered yesterday in the hearings, and that the Board of Governors guy had given way more than that to the Trump campaign. So they're up to their a-holes in, you know, Trumpism.
In a-holes.
Right. So they have a vested interest. They have invested in the success of the Trump reelect, and so they're going to do whatever they can to facilitate that, you know, to make good on their investment.
And invested in the destruction of the United States Postal Service in the process.
Right. And meantime, again, Letitia James kicking all kinds of ass all over the place. She's suing the Trump Organization and Eric Trump for financial crimes, including tax fraud, I think bank fraud.
Definitely bank fraud,
yes. Yeah, yeah. And apparently Eric Trump is trying to plead the fifth, although he hasn't declared that he's pleading the fifth, but I don't think he's going to respond to the subpoena. And so, but the idea was that he's going to be taking the fifth. And I, the way he presented the fact that he was going to plead the fifth is instead of saying, oh, I take the fifth, instead he's going to hold his outstretched palm with his fingers out and go, I take this many.
That's all the farther he got.
That would be a dumb guy joke, is what that
yes,
was.
Yes, it is.
But again, this is something that's kind of amazing to behold. The walls are closing in on Donald Trump. Already, Schneiderman had gotten rid of Trump University, and I think it was also the Trump Foundation that was also part of Schneiderman's investigation. Now Letitia James is going after the NRA and the Trump Organization. Trump's got to be crapping his pants all over the place. This is what he's afraid of most, is when it's the states doing these things. There's no pardon power here. He can't do anything as president to defend himself other than to stonewall. And Eric is obviously refusing to testify, refusing to turn over documents. And by Trump's own words, what Eric is doing right now is the actions of a mobster. Donald Trump said famously that only gangsters plead the fifth. Only gangsters take the fifth. If you're not guilty, then you shouldn't be taking the fifth. If you're guilty, yeah, you better take the fifth. I mean, this is Donald Trump talking back in whenever it was, 2016, 2014. Meanwhile, the administration is, and we got to take a break here in a second. We're way late for a break, but the administration is officially ignoring, and I think we hit upon this a little bit last week, and I was uncertain whether this was the case. I may have been talking about it with Glenn Kirshner as well on the show, but the administration is officially ignoring the Supreme Court. And it's with regard to the order to resume accepting new Dreamers into the DACA program. They have decided, nope, Chad Wolf is going, nope, we're not. And it's in writing. There's a memo to this effect. We're not accepting new Dreamers. We're only accepting renewals from Dreamers. And even then, we're only going to be renewing for a year. So basically, fuck you, Supreme Court. We're going to treat you like an advisory body that we can just ignore rather than, you know, a separation of powers, checks and balances thing. This is how we need to actually proceed if we cared at all about the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, this is just more of the same. This is the Donald Trump, William Barr era in which, the law and order is turned upside down. So, I guess what I keep telling myself to try to get through this is It will be over soon. It will. It won't be 60 some days if we can make it. And we've made it this far. I mean, I remember expressing this same concern 5 months ago, saying, if we can make it till the election. Well, here we are. It's 60 days away. We're getting closer. Maybe we can make it. Yeah. And I think once we do, that's going to provide a lot of hope and a lot of change, pardon the expression. I want to mention something else. I don't know. You see, we're about to go to break or...
Yeah, we gotta take a quick break. Can you hold that thought after the break?
I've got something for y'all when we get back.
Gotcha. Back with more show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
I wish I didn't like money. I wish I didn't like wine. I wish I didn't love the way you looked in those ripped up jeans and the devil in your eyes.
Oh yeah, the great gin, chocolate, and bottle rockets. Jen Farley and company here. This is called Flesh on Fire from their Lean album. Link in the description at bobseska.com. Don't forget Indie Music Countdown this weekend. All right, so...
Is it just me, or has indie music gotten better over the last decade?
Yes. I can tell you from experience over the past year and a half now, I am so surprised. I thought maybe we were going to get some kind of cheesy, cassette-sounding demos.
So did I. Yeah. But no, I mean, it just blows me away. Not just good, but sophisticated.
Yes.
Technically sophisticated. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, the best stuff that's happening is the music on this show. Unbelievable.
That's right.
Unbelievably
that's right.
Great. So, finish your thought. What do you have in mind?
Well, it's not a big thing, but I think it's important to mention. It's something I really wanted to mention, and that is about 3 days ago, I put up a news update, as I do, and I have it in front of me here.
Yeah.
The Democrat-led House has approved a measure to block the Trump administration's changes at the Postal Service and to provide USPS an additional $25 billion in funding. The Republican-led Senate is expected to ignore the bill.
Okay.
Now, a number of people came to me or commented and said, well, why do they even bother? What's the point? If they know that it's just going to die in the Senate, why do they even bother to pass that? And I said, well, I hear the reasons that I can see. One, it's a message to the voters of how they intend to govern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's very, especially as we get closer to the election, a very important message to send. It also, lays that. I mean, that legislation is there and could be passed by the new Senate once it's in place.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you always have to try to do what you believe is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you are pretty sure that it's going to fail, when it comes to right and wrong, you still have an obligation to try.
Yeah, yeah.
So between that, that moral need to try and the chance of convincing the public of what your governmental priorities are going into an election, I think they're very good moves to make. So
yeah.
I think that what seems pointless to many is really quite worthwhile.
I think what they need to do at this point, too, if they really want to get this codified into law, this additional cash for the Postal Service, is they need to link it to something that is undeniably sign-worthy by Donald Trump. I mean, they have to link it to something that the Senate's going to pass and the the Trump is going to sign.
Right.
And if Trump and the Senate refuse to do those things, then they look really awful. So they got to attach it to like a defense spending bill or something like that to get it through.
I know. It's just it wasn't just simply that. It wasn't like a simple expenditure that you could sneak into another bill because the Democrats also proposed, and I don't think they were going too far in doing so, that all of the Joyce changes be reversed by an act of law.
Yeah.
That will never see the light of day, at least not until after the end of January next year.
So one thing I wanted to mention here before we wrap up the show, because we're coming up to the end of the free portion of the show here, is something that's not really getting a lot of play on social media, at least for now, probably because of the fire hose of news. But this revelation from Marianne Trump Barry, who was captured on tape exposing her brother as a fraud. This is Marianne Barry, the judge who had to step down because she was linked into an investigation into the president. And she's involved some way.
She's no angel.
No.
But once again, Mary Trump, Trump's niece, caught Marianne on tape saying these rather remarkable things that the rest of us already knew. We just didn't know if his family knew.
That's right. And it's amazing to see that this. I mean, I don't have the audio. I'm just going to go through some of the quotes here real quick. She said here on tape to Mary Trump, all he wants to do is appeal to his base. Barry said in a conversation secretly recorded by Mary Trump, he has no principles, none. And his base, I mean, my God, if you are a religious person, you want to help people, not do this. She also said, his goddamn tweet and lying. Oh, my God. I'm talking too freely. Yes, she is. But, you know, the change of stories, the lack of preparation, the lying. Holy shit. And then she lamented what they're doing with kids at the border. She guessed her brother, quote, hasn't read my immigration opinions in court cases. In one case, she berated a judge for failing to treat an asylum applicant respectfully. She also said, Mary Trump said, what has he read? And Barry responded, no, he doesn't read. It's the phoniness of it all, she continued. It's the phoniness and this cruelty. Donald is cruel. He was a brat, Barry said. I did his homework for him, and I drove him around New York City to try to get him into college. Then Barry dropped what Mary considered to be a bombshell. Quote, he went to Fordham for 1 year, actually 2 years, and then he got into University of Pennsylvania because he had somebody take his exams. And Mary Trump goes, no way! He had somebody take his entrance exams, and Barry goes, yeah, SATs or whatever. That's what I believe. I even remember the name. That person was Joe Shapiro, Barry said. So Trump hired someone named Joe Shapiro to take his SATs or whatever. And then, you know, Trump often goes around and says he got into the Wharton School, but he didn't get into the Wharton School. He took a couple of classes that were in the Wharton School portion of the University of Pennsylvania, but Trump was only accepted into the University of Pennsylvania after attending Fordham for a while, but he wasn't accepted into that prestigious Wharton program like he goes business around school. Saying all the time. Yeah, the business school. So that's the kind of the extent, I think. I think I got almost everything there as far as the quotes go, but... once again, it's got a sting Biff. I can't even imagine what his reaction was when he heard about
the lying and the cruelty. You know, it goes back to something I said a few months ago about shades of gray in people, how nobody's really truly all bad or all good, with the possible exception of Trump. but in the case of Marianne, the judge, the former judge, she got caught in a little graft thing with her brother. You know, it was about skimming a little money. She doesn't draw a line there, apparently. But she does, from what we've just heard, and apparently her own court rulings, would indicate that she draws that line before a cruelty, ahead of cruelty. Mm-hmm. That she may accept a little graft, but she won't stand for cruelty.
Yeah.
That's sort of an affirmation of the fact that everybody's some good and some bad.
Oh, man. You know, I'm already starting to feel the hangover from all the news here. So we're gonna wrap up the free portion of the show here, shove everything that we didn't get to over to the postmortem show happening on our Patreon page. Again, that's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or very simply, BobSeskaShow.com. Or you can just click the all caps Patreon link at BobSeska.com.
You want to be sure and subscribe, because today's postmortem show will be 3 hours long.
only 3 hours long. You're lucky it's not going to be 4 hours because there's so many goddamn things to talk about. We got to talk about Social Security a little bit here. Donald Trump trying to defund Social Security. Some news on that front. Jerry Falwell Jr., we didn't even get to his three-way cuckold affair. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Yeah. Trump wanted to do something to migrants that is really terrifying. There's a brand new piece out from The Daily Beast and Molly Jongfast about Miles Taylor, who's that former DHS guy under Trump, who's now spilling the beans about all the insanity that he witnessed. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more on our Patreon page. Again, sign up at $5 a month. You get the two postmortem shows. It happens right after this music is done playing. It's like bonus material, bonus content. You can get all of that for $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Meanwhile, this coming up Thursday, it's Buzz Burbank News and Comment every Thursday. The best hour of news you're going to get all week. I'm sure a complete recap of everything in the Republican National Convention and just the avalanche landing on Donald Trump's head like a big old bowl of mashed potatoes.
I'll have that.
That's coming up on Thursday. Also, a teeny tiny commentary by me. Happening in the mix, too. BuzzBurbank.com, also at RealmNetwork.com, and everywhere you get your podcasts. Meanwhile, Sexy Liberal Podcast Network and all of your favorite shows on that network, please give us all a 5-star rating and review, including Buzz Burbank News and Comment, on your favorite podcast platform. And also at SexyLiberal.com, you can also buy tickets to recap everything that happened on Saturday night at the Sexy Liberal Virtual Tour, including my Alex Jones puppet show, Stephanie Miller's Judge Jeanine impression, Frangela, John Fugelsang's amazing stream of consciousness stand-up act as a tribute to New York City. Just so beautiful to look at and funny to listen to. And everything else, Hal Sparks puppet show, lots of puppets. It was a puppety show. And of course, my point was to comment on the Russia thing. That was the whole purpose of the puppet. So, all right. That said, that's
you're the puppet.
No puppet.